The Spiritual Journey, May 11, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, getting to heaven means becoming loving people. This is a long, slow, difficult journey with many ups and downs. We think that we are more than we are, or we think that we are less than we are. Both egocentric evaluations make it difficult to love. We get into addictive habits that cause self-hate and other hate. This makes loving difficult. We run after fame and fortune. This makes loving difficult. We think of God as judge and taskmaster. This makes us narrow and scared and interferes with loving. It is no wonder that growth in love is such a long, painful journey. Almost all of us die without the journey being complete. God does not abandon us, but helps us lovingly look at ourselves and let go of the chains that bind us. The name we give to this is purgatory. God sticks with us until we become the lovers God has called each one of us to be. The name we give to this is heaven. Smile, God loves you. Father Clay. Running Away. May 18, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, we all run away. We run away from ourselves. We are afraid of what is in us. The fear that causes us to run away interferes with our spiritual growth. We fear loneliness. We fear our addictions. We fear the dark, socially unacceptable part of us. We fear intimacy. We fear our insecurity. We fear the dark, shameful things we have done. We fear being poor. We fear rejection. We fear that what we are is bad. We fear losing our reputation. We fear sickness. The list is long. We even fear our fear. All the things we fear will lead to our spiritual growth if only we realize that. We must face our fears and stop running away, knowing that we are held and loved by God and another human being, if possible, helps us feel our fears. Let us look slowly and piece by piece at what we fear until we look it straight in the face. This will stop our running away, and spiritual growth will take place. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. God's Unconditional Love. June 1, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, the good news is that we are loved by God. It is a gift. It is free. We can't earn it. We don't have to earn it. The scriptures tell us that God is love. The doctrine of the Trinity says that God is loving relationships. Jesus told us this in the parable of the compassionate father. The father loved and accepted the prodigal son, who wasted his inheritance in a wild and sinful life. The father loved and accepted the older son, who was bitter and self-righteous. Both sons sinned badly, but this did not change the father's love. The news is so good that we don't believe it. We think that there must be a catch. We find it hard to believe that we are loved by God just for being ourselves. There are, of course, consequences to our actions. If I punch someone in the nose, I may get hit back twice as hard. If I get drunk Saturday night, I will have a hangover Sunday morning. If I am dishonest, no one will trust me. If I push people aside, I will end up lonely. The more I grow in compassion, generosity, justice, and love, the happier I will be. There are indeed consequences to our actions. The mistake we make is believing that God's love, mercy, compassion, and friendship depend on how we act. Our love as humans is usually conditional. God's never is. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. God belief in politics. June 15, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, I believe that God belongs in politics. By that I mean that the human values we cherish need to be an integral part of political decisions. Sometimes atheists hold these values more dearly than those of us who believe in God. The problem is that while God is who God is, our ideas of God are vastly different. That is why merely saying that my position follows from my belief in God should carry no weight in political discussions. I suggest a few guidelines for determining whether or not our God belief should carry weight in political discussions. Do we respect those with whom we disagree? 2. Do we listen to them? 3. Will this decision better humanity, our Earth, and our universe? 4. Do we have input from the powerless and voiceless? 5. How does this decision affect the most vulnerable? 6. Add your own guidelines. The way we think about God says more about us than it does about God. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Healthy Self-Doubt. June 22, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, God is on our side, is a frequent cry. The unspoken message is that God is not on the other side. I would suggest that God is on everybody's side. At the same time, I don't think that God is in favor of all the actions of either side. I get nervous when someone or some group invokes the name of God. I remember in World War II that both sides prayed for victory. I think that we invoke God to try to justify what we are doing. We very easily are deceived. I would suggest further that the more certain we are that God is on our side and against the other, the more likely it is that we are deceived. Absolute certainty usually means that we haven't seen the whole picture. Self-righteousness becomes more difficult when we see all sides. Healthy self-doubt is very valuable. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Revenge. June 29, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, the jury's decision that Timothy McVeigh should be killed for his crime set me to thinking. Our cultural and personal mindsets easily cloud and mask what we are doing. Our culture tells us that it is morally good to have our government, acting in our name, kill a criminal for a terrible crime. When our culture has a certain way of looking at things, we tend to see it that way without reflecting. It masks the fact that we are killing a human being. Society could be protected by life imprisonment without parole, so something more is behind our need to kill the criminal. We also have a personal need for revenge. I feel revenge. I think every or nearly every human being has vengeful feelings. It is the bloodlust that has come down from our ancestors. Vengeful feelings make us want to hurt, torture, and kill. That is an ugly emotion. It is also very human. Killing a criminal allows us to give expression to our feelings of revenge and at the same time feel righteous. Our righteous feelings mask the fact that we are killing a human being. The killing called abortion also has cultural and personal mindsets. The easy access to abortion and its prevalence give cultural approval to the killing. While pinning down the moment when the fetus is a human being is much debated, it seems clear to me that a human being is present long, long before birth. The hiddenness of the baby and the cultural approval mask the fact that we are killing a human being. These thoughts of mine are hard and disturbing. They are the way I think. I have no quarrel with anyone who disagrees with me. I would sit down with compassion and understanding with any juror who voted for the death penalty. I have sat down and will continue to sit down with compassion and understanding with anyone who has had an abortion. Seeing my own frailties and darkness makes it impossible to do otherwise. All of us on the human journey are very much the same. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Spiritual and Political Truths. July 13, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, the political left and right each have part of the truth and refuse to listen to the truth of the opposition. That is why we seldom improve our society. A spiritual vision cannot coincide with either the left or right. It must go deeper and thereby include the truth of both and the truth that neither can see. For example, a deeper vision will see the need for police to protect society and at the same time see that unless we address the poverty and racism built into our society, police protection will be no answer. The still deeper truth is that all members of our society, including our outcasts and have-nots, deserve respect as human beings who bear the image of God. When we find ourselves loyally following the right or the left, we may be sure that we are not speaking for God, who loves all equally and loves every part of the world and universe. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. The Universality of God, July 20, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, we are blessed to have the Bible. The Hebrew Scriptures trace the religious struggles of the Jews and their attempt to know God and what God wanted of them. The Christian Scriptures continue this search, focusing on Jesus, who for us is the ultimate revelation of God. Without the Bible, we would be immeasurably poorer religiously. What we forget is that the Jewish Christian story fits into the larger story of the universe. The Jewish Christian story unfolds the dignity of people. We are made in the image of God. This focus on people is good, but we easily lose sight of the broader truth that the whole universe is from God and is sacred. I see evidence of this in the fact that we practice our religion with almost total unawareness of how we pollute and damage our earth. We must listen to what God reveals, not only in the Bible story, but also in the story of our universe. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Learning from Suffering, July 27, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, suffering is perhaps the most mysterious and frightening aspect of human life. We are not to look for suffering, but it will inevitably find us. Learning to grow from suffering is a major challenge in our spiritual life. Here are hints that I find helpful. 1. Suffering does not mean we are bad. Some suffering comes from bad choices we have made, but it doesn't mean we are bad. 2. God loves us in our suffering and is with us even when we do not realize it. 3. Suffering is never easy, although it is somewhat more bearable when we see purpose in it. 4. It is better to face suffering and enter into it than to run away. 5. Be open enough to allow the love we name God to enter our pain. 6. Talk about it with understanding people, but don't whine. 7. Join it to Jesus' suffering for the spiritual growth of ourselves, those we love, and the whole world. 8. Add your own thoughts. I am able to use these hints better when I am not suffering than when I am. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Trust in God. August 3, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, sincerity can be extremely dangerous. To use a horrendous example, Adolf Hitler, I'm sure, really believed in his cause. There were no doubts in his mind. This made it possible for him to close his mind to any ideas or information that could bring a change in his outlook. Hence, he could do terrible things and feel okay about it. When we think that we could not be wrong, then we are infallible. We engage in destructive actions. We want to eliminate anyone or anything that stands in the way. Trust in God is opposed to this. When we trust in God, we can be open to mental and spiritual conversion, change, because we don't have to be right anymore. We trust that by being open to change, God will lead us to fuller truth and deeper spirituality. God's love for us does not depend on our being right and morally correct. Church people, and especially we church leaders, very easily fall into the trap of thinking we have the answers. After all, we tell ourselves we are doing God's work and speaking for God. When I sound like I am infallible, run from me, because then I am a danger not only to me, but to you. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Pursuit of Truth, August 10, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, Saint Teresa of Avila said that she would rather have a spiritual director who was wise than one who was holy. She said this because of the foolish advice she received from holy people. Early in his life, Saint Augustine thought that if someone spoke eloquently, they must be speaking the truth. After disillusionment with this, he thought that if someone spoke eloquently, they must not be speaking the truth. This didn't work either. Finally, he realized that eloquence, or lack thereof, was immaterial. He realized that truth and falsehood come in both forms. He had to examine what was said, and not how it was said. When church leaders or other leaders say something, examine it. It may be true, or it may be false. When atheists say something, examine it. It may be true, or it may be false. When everyday people say something, examine it. It may be true, or it may be false. Pursuit of truth is just that, pursuit. We reach toward it, we never have it. When we say we have the truth, we are interested not in truth, but in our own convictions. When we are truly interested in truth, we are always willing to learn, to see things in a new light. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Children and Goodness, August 17, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, it is sometimes instructive for us to see what we want for our children in order to see what is good for ourselves. Our own wants, desires, and fears at times get in the way of choosing what is good for us. Somewhere in the back of our minds we know what is good for us, but we dismiss it because it seems easier to dismiss it than to carry it out. There can be good reasons why getting to Mass and Communion is something we really don't want to do. That is a healthy decision. Sometimes, however, we just don't get around to it. If our children asked us if it would be good for them to get to Mass, we probably would say yes. That can help us realize what we truly think is good. We need to walk the walk if we are to help ourselves and our children. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Ego Transformation, August 24, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, sometimes we are told to root out our defects and sins. I suggest that this is not a helpful approach. Trying to root out our bad habits and behaviors will not be very successful. To the degree that we do succeed, we will think that we are better than those who have not done as well as we have. We will merely have changed from one type of sin to the more deadly sin of arrogance. What we see as bad in us is not to be rooted out, it is to be transformed. Transformation takes place as we become clearly aware of what we are doing and how it is harmful. We open ourselves to be transformed by the power of God's love. When the transformation takes place, we do not become arrogant because we see it as a gift. We become humble and grateful. Greed becomes delight in and sharing what we have. Lust becomes passionate love. Envy becomes enjoying another's talents and virtues. What we think is bad in us is merely the frog waiting to be turned into a prince by the kiss of God's love. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Ecumenism, September 14, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, reconciliation with believers of other denominations is mentioned by T. Howard Sanks as a major emphasis of Vatican II. I remember being taught when I was young that I shouldn't enter a Protestant church. If I had to go to a Protestant church for a funeral, I should just sit there and not take part in the prayers or singing. I realize that my teachers didn't know any better, but the arrogance of that teaching astonishes me. We thought that by following that teaching, we were pleasing God. We easily fall into such arrogance when we receive no input from groups other than our own. As Catholics, we desperately need to have input from other religions, both Christian and non-Christian. That input will keep us closer to the truth. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Shoulds, November 9, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, I wonder how many times I have said, you should do this, or you should be this way. I think that these should statements hinder relationships and the spiritual growth of ourselves and others. Shoulds are hammers. We may pound someone into submission, but they will not grow. I will not grow either, because by using control, I diminish my compassion. The relationship will be damaged because use of control over a person breeds resentment. If our relationships don't seem to be very good, we could ask ourselves if should is the problem. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Equality. November 16, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, for many years, minority groups in our country were denied or hindered in their access to employment and educational opportunities. Because of this discrimination, large groups of people do not have an equal opportunity to take an appropriate place in our society. To remedy this situation, affirmative action was instituted. Affirmative action means that a minority person who is qualified is to be given preference over other qualified people. It was recognized that there was not a level playing field. The hope was that this would gradually enhance the position of minority people to the point where their playing field would be level. In recent years, there has been movement toward eliminating affirmative action. California has passed such a law. It has been upheld by the Supreme Court. I foresee many states following suit. The reasoning behind these laws is that race and gender should neither help nor hinder the person. Furthermore, people today are not responsible for what was done by previous generations. I understand that logic. It makes sense only if we look at the rights of individual people. Deep in our tradition as Catholics is the realization that the common good must also be considered. Our rights as individual people are limited by the common good. The good of the whole society must be considered. As a country, our virtue has been to protect individual rights. We have not been equally protective of the common good. In my judgment, affirmative action should be continued until the playing field is level. It is a temporary but necessary measure. Let me use an imperfect but useful example. We have two football teams. One wears white uniforms, the other black. The white team has 11 players. The black team has 9. Well into the game, the white team leads 49-0. The referee says that this is not fair. The black team now gets 11 players and the white team 9. The black team scores a touchdown and the score is 49-7. The white team complains to the referee that it is not fair that they have 2 less players than the black team. What is the referee to do? If he says that they will wait until the score is tied and then both teams will have 11 players, he is for affirmative action. If he says that even though the score is 49-7, both teams get 11 players, he is against affirmative action. I offer these thoughts for your reflection. If our society is to be healthy and less violent, we must see to it that opportunities are as equal as possible. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Working for Justice, November 30, 1997. Dear people whom God loves, I invite you to reflect on the following quote. Power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice, and justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., 1967. Working for justice is deep in our tradition. It goes back to the prophets in Israel. It is also something that we seldom do. I would guess that most of us sin by failing to do much of anything. Some of us work for justice, but do it poorly. Our minds may be clear and our wills strong, but our hearts are not soft. For others of us, our hearts are soft, but our minds are fuzzy and our wills are hesitating. Our minds must be clear. We must name the injustice wherever we see it, no matter who is called to task. We must have the courage to face the opposition we will find. Our hearts must be soft. We must look with compassion on those to whom we are opposed. Like ourselves, they are wounded people caught in the web of dysfunction. If we think of them as the enemy, we will become unjust ourselves. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay.